Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Mr. David Limbaugh. We're going to be talking about his book, Persecution. Now, Mr. Limbaugh, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thanks. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Well, how is the book moving?
Well, very well. In fact, I got word yesterday that for the first week it made number 8 on the New York Times bestseller list, which will be official in, I think, October 11th.
All right, fine. Well, I think that's important because, of course, what you tell about here is that there seems to be an organized effort, an organized anti-Christian movement here all across America, doing everything they can to make the lives of Christians miserable, but not the people on the other side's lives miserable.
Yeah, that's correct. I would say that the secularists are trying to suppress the religious liberty of Christians exclusively, and to drive Christianity out of the public square. And it is very disturbing. While they demand tolerance of Christians toward all other groups, they will not show that same kind of tolerance toward Christians. And it's a disturbing double standard, just as they apply this strict separationist principle to Christians, but do not apply it to the promotion of other worldviews such as secular humanism and other major religions.
So why is that? Because I think that is the big question that everybody out here asks. Why is it that there is this conscious, organized effort, many times on the part of the courts and even of the highest court of the land, to destroy the Christian foundation of this country?
Well, I think that they view Christianity as a threat to their value system, or should I say their value-less system. And they don't believe that Christianity and its values can stand side by side with theirs. They believe they want license to do anything they want. They want moral relativism to prevail. They don't want Christians to sit in judgment of licentious behavior. They don't want Christians to even have the opinion, much less express it, that homosexuality is abnormal. They want us to say that it's normal. But my point is that they want to shove their opinion. They want to force their opinions down our throats. We don't want to deny them their opinion. We don't want to deny their religious freedom and their religious speech and their religious expression. But they want to deny ours, and they are doing it. And this book is a call to arms to Christians to stand up and fight back for their religious liberties. Because after all, that is what this nation was founded for, religious liberty.
All right, fine. In fact, on page 5 of your book, you quote a judge, Samuel B. Kent, U.S. District Judge in the Southern District of Texas, is saying, "And make no mistake, the court is going to have a United States Marshal in attendance at the graduation, and if any student offends this court, that student will be summarily arrested and will face up to 6 months of incarceration in the Galveston County Jail for contempt of court. And anyone who thinks I'm kidding about this order better think again. Anyone who violates this order, no kidding, is going to wish he or she had died." And, of course, what was he concerned about? Criminal activity? No. Mentioning the word of God in prayer. That's a little scary, isn't it?
Yes, and by the way, it wasn't the compulsory mention of God by the school authorities who are supposedly affiliated with the state. It was the voluntary invocation.
Hold that right now.
Yes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is David Limbaugh. We're talking about his book, certainly Persecution, and he's talking about how this judge has outlawed the voluntary expression of a prayer or mention of God at this, was it a football game or a graduation?
I think that was a graduation. There's so many different cases in that book. I think that was a graduation.
And of course, time and time and time again, we see these judges, whether they be federal or state judges, coming in and really threatening children, you know, who are doing nothing more than expressing their religious beliefs, and they're doing it voluntarily, not as far as the state. In fact, you pointed out that children who would say a prayer at lunch, you know, for themselves, at the school, at the school cafeteria, you know, would be persecuted, taken to the office, told they can't pray, how terrible it is to pray, and time and time again, you're trying to break the will of these children and their religious beliefs. And that is no stretch at all of the imagination. Is this the state establishing religion? This is anti-Christian.
Thank you for an eloquent statement, a summary of the point, one of the major points in my book, major themes. And that's right, because there is nothing in the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment that would prohibit a student from voluntarily praying at school. There is nothing that prohibits a kindergartner from joining hands with their classmate and breaking bread at snack time and saying thanks to Jesus. There is nothing that precludes parents from victims of the Columbine student massacre from painting tiles and putting the symbols, putting the words "Jesus wept." Nor is there anything that should cause a fourth grade teacher in New Jersey to cancel a field trip to Broadway, a Broadway play, A Christmas Carol, in favor of a great train race. But nevertheless, through intimidation by the ACLU, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, Freedom from Religious Foundation, and other assorted groups of atheists and agnostics and anti-religionists, Andy, we've had this kind of thing going on, and it's just a shame, the discrimination going on against Christians.
Well, I think it is, too, and when we get back, we want to talk a little bit about the book and how, of course, David traces the history of America from over the time of the Pilgrims, and then, of course, through the various stages of the development of this country, all founded on religious belief. And America was founded as a Christian nation, not that everybody who was a Christian, but the foundational principles upon which our laws and which our very existence rested, and certainly our freedom existed, were based upon Christianity, but always that effort behind the scene to destroy it. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is David Limbaugh. His book, Persecution, and of course, it is put out by Regnery, who does an excellent, excellent job. And you start out really talking about the background of America and the religious beliefs of the founders of this country. Would you like to sort of develop that? Because you can't understand where we are today unless you understand where we came from.
Yes, thank you. In Chapter 11 of my book, Persecution, I trace America's Christian roots, and I point out that the overwhelming majority of our founders were Christians, strong, practicing, Orthodox Christians, that only a few high-profile ones of them were arguably deists or Unitarians, and that the Bible was used as the chief textbook in the schools, that common schools were first organized for the explicit purpose of Christian instruction because the Christian parents believed that the Bible was essential for salvation, and that kids needed to learn how to read and read the Bible. 123 out of 126 of our first universities in this country were of Christian origin. And 50 to 52 of the 56 signers of the Declaration were Christians. 50 to 52 of the signers of the 55 signers of the Constitution were strong Christians. But more than that, and by the way, George Washington was a strong Christian, had a daily prayer book that he'd written in his own hand where he thanked God, Christ for his substitutionary death on the cross. No deist could issue that kind of a prayer. And but more than all of that, they incorporated Christian principles into the Constitution, and specifically by that I mean they believed that that man was created in God's image. And that's a critical point, and it's an explicitly biblical concept. Man created in God's image and therefore entitled to respect, dignity, and freedom. And from that grows all of our freedom tradition. But there's a corollary to that, which is that man is also sinful. And that's a Christian precept, the fall of man. And because man is sinful, left to his own devices, he will enslave, subjugate, and persecute other men or mistreat other men unless you place limitations on him. And so the framers developed this intricate system of limitations on government through the Bill of Rights, through the separation of powers, and through the system of federalism, dividing power vertically between national, state, and local governments. And they established all these for the purpose of limiting men and limiting rulers, established this rule of law which said that all men are subject to law, that we are a government of laws and not men, and which is different from the ancient civilizations and ancient governmental systems where the ruler was always above the law and he was deemed to be a conduit to the gods. And so they set up all this elaborate system, and we've enjoyed freedom like nowhere else in the world precisely because we are a Christian, biblically based Judeo-Christian society. But despite all that, the framers said that Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people, and we are getting away from those, from that Judeo-Christian ethic, and as a result, our foundation to our constitutional liberties is imploding. It's under assault on all levels, and so my book is a clarion call to Christians to fight back in this culture war. Hello?
Well, I was at a meeting the other day, and they were pointing out that the entertainment industry will gross about $10 billion this year, and the pornography industry in America will actually gross about $10 billion this year. In other words, there would be as much money made in pornography as in all the movies and all of the entertainment that we have. So I share your concern that if we don't take America back and get it back to a moral foundation, then we are going to lose this country.
Yes, sir. I don't know where I got lost the connection here. Sorry about that, but...
You sound much, much better.
This phone is acting up here. But I don't know where I was, but the bottom line is we were Christian principles inform our Constitution. They lie at the core of our Constitution. They are the foundation of our liberties, and they are under assault, a comprehensive assault right now. And this book is a call to arms asking Christians to fight back and
get involved
in the culture war.
Then what can Christians do in this war? In other words, how can they address this possibly? Because after all, the Supreme Court is the highest court in the land, and it is very obviously anti-Christian in its orientation.
Yeah, but not entirely. I mean, we've got three justices on there that are on our side.
That's three out of the nine.
That's right. Well, so therefore, one thing you can do within the system is to elect people who governmental officers who will appoint conservative constitutionalist judges. That's a long-term solution. We're not seeing that. We can elect a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate, and I know that's tough, too. I think the bottom line, we've got to fight it at all levels. We've got to fight it at the level of our culture. We've got to work in our churches. But we've also got to make people aware of the assault going on, and that's part of the reason for my book. I mean, there's got to be an awareness level raised and make people realize these are not isolated occurrences. This is a systematic, comprehensive assault, and it is no laughing matter, because if our political liberties finally implode and finally are eradicated, then we as Christians will not even be able to honor our Great Commission, and that's a pretty serious matter.
Well, of course, much of this is coordinated by the press. I mean, as a whole, the press is anti-Christian. I mean,
yes.
You'll see these articles in Time and Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report always undermining and demeaning Christianity, and they've just found some new fossil is, you know, $300 billion years old, and of course this puts to rest any of the Christian beliefs. Once again, we've proved that Christianity is wrong, and then we'll have the Jesus seminar, and we have all these scholars who sit around and said, gee, Jesus didn't say anything in the Bible. We know because we're the experts. And so how do we counter, really, of course, what we're seeing? Because people are so dependent upon the organized media, which, in my opinion, is definitely anti-Christian.
Yes. Well, you know, I don't have any magical answers, but I did interview six leading Christians from James Kennedy to Dr. Dobson, Ravi Zacharias, Michael Novak, Marvin Alasky, and Nancy Piercy, and ask them their opinion about their assessment of the current situation and their opinion as to what we should do to fight back. And they had some interesting answers. Some of them were more optimistic than others. But I think all of them agree that we have to at least engage in this fight, at least begin to fight for our religious liberties in the courts and in the culture, or they're going to erode much more rapidly than they otherwise would if we stayed out of the fight.
Well, I think there's some people who say we shouldn't do anything. We ought to just sort of leave it all in God's hands, withdraw, take our kids out of public schools. And I think that that's ridiculous. I agree with you totally. We have to be involved. And certainly T. James Kennedy is one of the great ministers of our time. And he's not afraid to tell people to be involved. But so few people will really do that.
No, that's right. And you make another very good point, which is, see, a lot of our fellow Christians will say that this is a matter of spiritual warfare. Moreover, we don't want to sully our hands in the dirty world of politics. That's of the world, and we're above that. We're about converting souls and saving souls. And I just can't help but respond, as I did a little earlier, that they can talk this lofty rhetoric all they want about staying pure and free from the material world. But the material world happens to be the world that God placed us in, and I think he placed us here for a purpose, and he did tell us, he commanded us to go about and spread the gospel throughout the world. And if we are constrained politically, we will not be able to honor that great commission, as we have seen in Soviet Russia, Communist China, and the various other totalitarian systems throughout history.
I agree with you totally. You know, your point is so well made. And the other thing is that we lose our freedom here. And of course, the Great Commission, at least as far as America's influence on it, will cease to be. So, you know, we just have to get the Christians to understand that they have a moral responsibility, not only to their children and their children's children, but I believe to God, because I believe we were put here for a purpose, to be the salt and light. We were, of course, to have an impact on our society. And if society reflects the church today, and I look at society, why, we got some real problem with the church.
That's right. That's right. And I agree that we were put here for a purpose. And I just reiterate that we cannot lay back while the anti-Christians and the irreligious and the secular agnostics and the atheists forcibly crowd us out of the public square. Now, you know, it's one thing for them to have a seat at the table in the marketplace of ideas, but it is another for us to be denied our place. In other words, I'm not trying to tell Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists that they can't speak and that they don't have religious freedom and freedom of expression. I am saying, though, that so do we, and that we should fight to preserve our right to compete in the marketplace of ideas and in the world of evangelism. And we have a right and an obligation. We do. We have a duty to speak out.
We have a duty to God. And one of the things, really, of reading your book, it's infuriating. I mean, you want to just shout out and say, don't you see these things are happening? And all across America, little kids being persecuted because they dared to pray in school or pass out candy that said, Jesus loves you, or things like that. And they're told, oh, you can't do that. You're violating the wall of separation of churches. They're giving it out in kindergarten.
Yes.
Well, we got real problems. We're going to be back here in just a moment with David Limbaugh. Well, invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question or comment. The book, Persecution, the author, David Limbaugh. Fascinating, fascinating book. But make sure, of course, you take a Valium before you read it, because it'll really get your blood pressure up there. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, let me tell you about some of the 4 tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's
four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated.
Right.
They were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today.
This is radio health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamex, the new odorless, 100% pure Allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamex. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention some of the products we carry here. Certainly one of them are the Big Berkey water filters, and of course this has been a standard with missionaries throughout the world for 150 years. They're very, very attractive. They're certainly stainless steel, and you put the water in the top, and it goes to the filters, comes out the bottom. Pretty simple means of using it, but I will tell you that we've sold an awful lot of them, and I've never had anybody yet who said they really didn't like it, because it takes out the taste and the bad odors in your water. It will certainly take out many of the harmful chemicals and pesticides and bacteria, and of course, it's a wonderful thing to have if there's any sort of an emergency or you're going camping, or you can use it around the house, but you can filter pond or river or lake water with this, and if you ever have an emergency, it would be wonderful to have. A lot of people have a bad taste in the water. They have too much chlorine in the water, and this will take out most of the chlorine and make it taste better. Now, if you have fluoride or arsenic or MTBE in your water, then you can get special post filters to put on the bottom, and of course they will filter those out. They have to be replaced every 6 months or so. Now, the Big Berkey is available in every state in the union except for California and Iowa. It's $239.95 plus $10 shipping, and we throw in a four-tape set or video we produced if you buy it through us. And you can see the Big Berkey water filters up on our website at RadioLiberty.com. Now, if you live in California, they have the Berkey Light, and that's $199.95. And, of course, it's a transparent Lexan, so you can see the water level. The filters are different. Actually, they're much more efficient, even than the Solastic. It's the latest in development, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years. They're called the Black Berkey filters. And, of course, if you'd like to get either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can see what they look like. And then, of course, we hope you'll give us a call and order one today. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is David Limbaugh, his book, Persecution. David, how long can you stay with us? Can you stay with us the hour or just half an hour?
I know, I've got another one at the bottom of the hour. I'm sorry.
All right, fine. Well, then I'm going to ask the two callers that we have, Ben from Salinas and Steve from Wisconsin, to hold on, and we'll take you into the next hour, or next half hour. But right now, of course, we'd just as soon spend the time with David Limbaugh. And, of course, you've talked to certainly a number of our religious leaders, and some of them feel that we really have to be involved. So what is their suggestion? How are we going to begin to turn around this organized program of persecution that is really undermining the very fabric of our society?
Well, I mean, Rabbi Zacharias, who is just a brilliant man, has always said that we should approach this at the level of the church and at all levels. In fact, he's a guy that's written a lot about the
the corruption of the church, and he's written several several books about that include those kinds of admonitions. But they all have different. I'm trying to think of how Ravi Zacharias worded this, that we have to apply it. I mean, we have to fight in multiple strands. I mean, he was just saying that we have to fight on all levels: the culture, the church, the courts, and the media, just all of it. You know, I don't think any of these preachers want to get that involved in giving political advice or anything. But they understand. They're realists. D. James Kennedy's a realist. He understands that we do have to fight at the political level. And by the way, he has a center for Reclaiming America. And he would argue, by the way, that America is coming back to Christ. He thinks that not only are more people claiming to be Christians nominally, but they are more Christians claiming to be actual believers and followers of Christ. So he's encouraged about the prospects. Some of the others aren't as much, but you know, some of the specific remedies, I think, are just, I mean, none of them have specific remedies. They just think we should attack this from a multi-pronged approach.
Well, you know, it's very, very interesting. D. James Kennedy has an institute in Washington, D.C., where, of course, he has a man there full-time working with our senators and congressmen, but they are not talking to them about the political issues. They're talking to them about Jesus Christ and trying to change the hearts of our elected representatives, or if they already are Christians, to bring them closer to the Lord and give them the courage to stand up and do what they should do. And that's really what it's all about, because, you know, a lot of people are pro-choice, and when they become Christians, they become pro-life.
Yeah,
because it's really your worldview that determines how you look upon these issues. If you are certainly a secularist, you see nothing wrong with homosexuality. If you're a Christian, you know what it says in the scriptures, and you're willing to go along and accept God's admonition and His advice, not the advice of the church, but the advice of the Holy Scriptures.
Yes, and you're exactly right, and I do think changing hearts is critical, and. You know, on the abortion issue alone, I mean, it is quite discouraging that you have so many people out there who don't even see it as immoral. And in fact, the secularists, the pro-choice people, have the moral high ground when it comes to the moral issue. And that's just almost 180 degrees out of phase with reality.
I sometimes think we live in a world gone mad, and there are only a few of us who are crazy, and everybody thinks we're insane.
But Dr. Stan, there's one other thing. I think Christians need to develop a little bit of backbone. I'm not saying I'm some tough guy, but we need to stand up, like when Senator Santorum says that if the Supreme Court changes the sodomy decision on the basis of this ephemeral privacy right, this non-existent privacy right in the Constitution, that it'll open the doors to all kinds of permissive activities considered taboo historically in the privacy of one's home, and that's not a legal justification, that's not a constitutional justification. So he's accused of being a homophobe and a bigot when he says that, and I don't think enough Christians stood up and went to bat for him. Similarly with John Ashcroft or David Hager, who's was appointed to serve on the FDA, and Jerry Thacker on the AIDS Committee. We just roll over sometimes. I'm not chiding Christians, but I'm saying, look, let's fight, let's join hands and fight back for our freedoms.
I agree with you totally. Well, that's what we do here on Radio Liberty 5 hours every day, and we're reaching more people, and they are getting educated. Well, look, I want to thank you so very much for being our guest, and of course for writing this book, as well as the other books you've written that we've interviewed you on. But this is a very important book. It's called Persecution by David Limbaugh, and God bless you. Thanks so very much for doing it.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's
Bye-bye.
Been an honor. Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay, fine. Well, that was David Limbaugh, and now we'll invite your calls here at Radio Liberty. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Tape set.
genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact that too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to mention a couple of the other things that we have here. One of them, of course, is our Miracle 2 soap products, and I know you get tired of hearing about them. Well, maybe you ought to try them. You know, we can't tell you that they're miraculous or they have any wonderful medical properties, but we will tell you that we've used them. We're very, very pleased, both my wife and myself and my son, and the people who really have gotten these are sold on them, and we hear the most wonderful stories of how they've helped people, whether they be rashes or acne or all these other things. All you can do is try them and see if they help. They're not approved by the FDA for any of these things, but, well, some people tell us that they really help. So why not give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You can get a special introductory offer. There's a soap. There's a moisturizing soap. There's a gel and a lotion and a neutralizing solution that some people take for heartburn. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we want to mention Phenopoly. Phenopoly is a program to teach you and your children, your grandchildren, how to read and pronounce words and spell phonetically. Most of these programs, $300, $400, $500, $600, $1,000. This is $139.95. And, of course, in 16 hours, you can transform a child's life, and they'll be able to read phonetically. And, of course, it's 5 board games, 2 bonus games. Play just like Monopoly. We throw in a couple of books. I think you'll be happy. And then, of course, we also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum that will take your child from grammar school to high school graduation for $199.95. And basically, everything's there that you need but the Saxon math textbooks, and we can get those for you at a discount. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and get either the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum or Phenopoly. You won't be sorry if you do. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and of course, the rest of the hour is going to be open line. So if you are out there and you have a question or comment, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, we've got Ben from Salinas. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
And don't ever think that we get tired of hearing your sponsors, because we believers must support your sponsors to help you to put the good word of faith and truth and honesty out on the air. My message today is, I talk to all my fellow believers out there, we must stand behind this principled, good man, Mr. Tom McClintock, who will bring some beautiful things to Sacramento. And please, Christians, don't believe because the polls say this. And remember, polls are bought for just like underwear and food. They're bought and paid for by the people that hope to rape the Sacramento Treasury like Bush is doing to the National Treasury. Stand behind this principled, good man of God. My question is this. We have a man that wants to go in there who would sit your daughter, your wife, or if you're a young person, sit your mother on his lap and fondle her, put his hands in her private parts. This is called battery, and people have gone to jail for that. Even if the person who is battered doesn't prosecute, the state can prosecute in behalf of we the people. These are crimes. This man who would do such a thing, who I will not name in courtesy to the station there, this man was not fit to run a prison.
Well,
the principled man of God of Tom McClintock, and please don't believe the polls, vote for this good man. He can win it. Believe me, this is Ben and Salinas. Tom McClintock can win it, and support Dr. Stan, because there's very little truth and goodness on the air, and I'll shut my big mouth and let you go to other believers.
All right, fine.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Well, you know, this is really a very interesting election. It's just next Tuesday. And, of course, for those of you who don't know, there are kingmakers. They control both political parties. And, of course, they have picked Arnold Schwarzenegger to become the governor of California. Now, the Republicans in Washington who control the state parties, we don't have parties that are controlled from the ground up. We have parties that are controlled from the top down. The Republican Party in California was purchased about 2 years ago by a man named Brooks Firestone. And they put out millions of dollars to buy up all the central committees that this last weekend, of course, certainly backed Arnold Schwarzenegger. And, of course, many of the people there feel that Tom McClintock's the best man. But because everybody says he can't win, why, of course, they've accepted that fact. And of course, the Republican Central Committee in Santa Cruz last night voted 24-1 in favor of Schwarzenegger. There was only one person who said, "Don't you understand that we're far better off with an enemy we know, like Bustamante, than an enemy we don't know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger." But the Republicans across the state are rallying behind Schwarzenegger, a man who, of course, opposes every basic tenet of course, what the Republican Party is supposed to stand for. It's supposed to stand for pro-life and pro-gun and cutting back on the size of government. Who are the advisors to Arnold Schwarzenegger? Well, one of them, of course, is Bobby Kennedy's son, and of course, as you know, why, of course, Arnold is married to Maria Shriver, who is a Kennedy. In fact, in 1979 or 1980, I guess it was 79, when Ronald Reagan was running for the presidency. And of course, Schwarzenegger says that Ronald Reagan is his idol, but he didn't give any money to Ronald Reagan. He gave money that year to Teddy Kennedy. So you can say you're a Republican, but what, of course, is the basis of that statement? Well, the real problem we have is that anybody can say they're a Republican. We had, a Republican governor a few years ago. His name was Pete Wilson. He gave us the biggest tax increases in the history of the state of California in the early 90s and just about wrecked our economy. That was Governor Wilson, who today is the co-chairman of the Schwarzenegger for governor campaign. And, of course, there are two major advisors. One is Warren Buffett, a lifelong Democrat, of course, who believes we should do away with Proposition 13 and increase taxes. The other is George Shultz, who comes from the Council on Foreign Relations. He was on the board of the Gorbachev State of the World Foundation. You know who Gorbachev was, the butcher of Afghanistan, the head of the CIA, and, of course, the dictator of Russia. And, of course, we're told, well, he sort of got away from that. He's really a good guy now. No, he's not. He still espouses communism. He has written, and we have his writings recently. They were up on the Gorbachev webpage, and we got it down before they took it down, where they talked about identifying the people who have religious fundamentalists and eliminating them. Those are their words, not mine. And if you want to see them, we can send you the page. Of course, identifying the religious fundamentalists and eliminating them. I wonder what they're talking about. Well, let's, of course, go to Roger, who's calling from Allentown, and, of course, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Roger, how are you doing?
Great. Thanks, Dr. Stan. I think it was, I believe it was Glenn Spence, U.S. Border Patrol. He had it about right. He said, yeah, Carnahan might not win, but you better do everything you can to get him elected or just move out of the state. And I think that's a very sober thing to say. I mean, not merely figuratively.
Well, of course, a lot of people say we have to have somebody with an R after the name. And I remember, of course, when we had Pete Wilson as our governor. And, of course, he was the one who, of course, created this whole mess as far as the electricity is concerned, deregulation. And why did he do it? Why, because PG&E made a $4 billion profit and Southern California Edison made an equal amount, and I don't know what, of course, San Diego Electric got out of it. But Pete Wilson, of course, brought in MTBE, knowing full well it was a poison, it was a carcinogen, but, of course, his chief advisor just happened to be working for one of the big oil companies, and of course, Pete Wilson was a politician for sale. And, of course, he increased government control and regulation. He was the one, of course, went along with the environmentalists and blocked the building of power plants in the in California so they could create the crisis, so they could bring in the energy deregulation that's going to rape this state and take away over $40 billion in contracts we have at exorbitant rates. And I know Tom McClintock said the first thing he would do if he was the governor would be to negate all those contracts, because Gray Davis's man who negotiated the contracts with all of the Enron and all of these other companies and with the electricity providers, he was getting $100,000 from one of these companies at the same time he was on the state payroll negotiating for us, which of course invalidates them. Now, I'm sure that if Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is part and parcel of the establishment, I mean, where is he getting his money? Do you realize at last count he had 178 people who had given, and this was 2 weeks, about 10 days ago, had given $21,500. Of course, Tom McClintock had four people who had given that much. And one of them, of course, was a Christian family I know, and the other was one of his campaign managers. But who were the people who gave $21,400 to 178 of them? You mean to tell me they're giving Arnold all that money and they don't expect something in return? The people who back McClintock are idealists. They want to preserve our freedom. They're concerned about the moral issues.
Yeah, whereas
Schwarzenegger is pro-homosexual, he's pro-choice, he's pro-taking confiscating the guns. He has refused to sign a no-tax pledge. Of course, he said he won't raise taxes, but you can say anything you want to. What's his track record? He has none, other than he's been a Kennedy supporter. He, of course, voted in very few of the elections. As Gray Davis says, only about half of the elections. Is this man really concerned about preserving our freedom, or has he been selected? And as you know, of course, Schwarzenegger took a trip over to Europe, to England, where he met with the Rothschilds, was checked out by the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the parent organization of the CFR, and he has been picked by the kingmakers, of course, to be the governor of this state, the fifth largest economy in the world.
Yeah, sorry, I meant to say McClintock. I knew I'd screw up the name. Hey, now, you probably don't want me mentioning the scandal du jour out of the New York Daily News this morning.
You're talking about the Los Angeles Times, yes. I mean,
No. In light of your last guest, New York Daily News.
What was that? I don't know that one.
Well, that was Rush Limbaugh's maid down in Palm Springs, Palm Beach, whatever it was. Paid $80,000 severance and offered Rush to join the bidding for her hard drive that has emails about procuring thousands of illegal painkillers.
Oh, you mean Rush was doing this?
They were discussing it all on WABC, the big New York station, on the morning show this morning.
Don't want to say anything about it one way or the other, because I don't know anything about it. Okay. Anything else, Roger?
No, that's all. God bless.
All right, fine. Thanks so much. Let's go to Rob calling from Oklahoma. And, of course, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to verify what I was just saying about Arnold and about his relationship with Lord Rothschild, the Royal Institute, and the Kingmakers, go to Infowars.com. That's Infowars.com, and there's a whole section there on Arnold. And, of course, the revelations from the Los Angeles Times today doesn't make me feel very comfortable. What really bothers me more than anything else is that moral, honest, hardworking Republicans who believe in moral values are willing to compromise what they believe in to win. And I would far rather stand on my principles, because winning with a man who doesn't represent anything that I believe in is not winning at all. And as I said earlier, far better to have an enemy that you know than an enemy that you don't know, who says what we believe and then, of course, will do exactly what he's told to by the people who control him, who picked him to become the governor of California. And all you need to do is see what the newspapers are doing and the way that they have built him up, and the way that the national magazines have built him up. He has been picked by the kingmakers. Rob, how are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. It's my first time to call.
Well, are you a regular listener?
Listen to you all the time. I appreciate you. I really called about David Limbaugh, but I was going to say, I saw your congressman, Dreyer, I believe, the other day on a on a Fox's morning show or something, and this is like 3 weeks ago, and they've already coronated Arnold Schwarzenegger, the candidate to run on the Republican ticket. You know, they just threw Tom McClintock overboard.
Sure they did. Of course, I can remember when, of course, David Dreyer was elected by the Christian conservatives in Southern California.
Yeah.
I remember having dinner with David Dreyer. You know, when he, of course, was talking about the importance of cutting back on government and limiting what was going and cutting back on taxation. Well, David Dreyer, 20 years later now, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's been appointed to a key position. He had a key committee in Congress. He sold his soul for a mess of pottage. I hate to say that, but David is a tremendous disappointment to the people who financed him and worked so hard for him, and he's betrayed the people who put him in Congress, and I hope, of course, that they will bring him back to his district where he can make an honest living. Of course, he won't have to, because they will reward him, and this is what they ordinarily do. When you leave Congress, you're given a well-paying job. Maybe you could become the president of Halliburton like Dick Cheney was. And then maybe you could come back as vice president and still get your salary. Well, it's not really a salary. It's deferred payment of $150,000 a year from Halliburton, which just got, is going to get about $6 billion in contracts. They've got $1.7 billion contract, and they haven't even specified what they're going to do for it. But anyway, what anything else, Rob?
Yeah, I wanted to comment about the David Limbaugh thing. I saw him the other day, and defended his position in his book real well, and of course, obviously, we know there's Christian persecution, but no one in the secular media will accept it. But it's kind of interesting, the very day that I saw him on a show debating someone, it was on Fox again, I saw where in the San Francisco Chronicle they were basically saying, horror of horrors, Tom McClintock, he has an advisor, and if he was governor, well, this advisor, he believes that our laws emanate from the Bible, and that would be just like intolerable, you know, horror of horrors. And then they won't admit that they're discriminating or persecuting Christians. And then I heard David Korn of The Nation magazine on another Sunday morning program say, well, we got to watch out for these Christian conservative judicial appointees that Bush is trying to float. Says they may try to make judicial decisions based on the Bible. You know, and they fail to realize that they're talking out of both sides. They're basically hypocritical, because the appointees that they want, they make their judicial decisions based on the Humanist Manifesto.
Amen to that. Well, I think, you know, of course, what we really have to point out is the reason that the Supreme Court did what it did back in 1962 in Engle versus Vitale, and then, of course, in subsequent decisions, was because the Masons, who were dedicated to destroying the Christian heritage of this country, took over our country in our Supreme Court in 1941 and controlled it in 1971 in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1. And, of course, their stated purpose has always been to destroy the Christian heritage of this nation. And then, of course, we have J. Paul Stevens on the court. Who appointed him? Why, of course, a man named Gerald Ford. And, of course, he was made president because, of course, of his betrayal on the Warren Commission. He was a 32nd-degree Mason. Of course, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer appointed by Bill Clinton, who was the highest-ranking DMOLE, and that is the Organization for Masonic Boys in the Nation. And then, of course, but why did President Kennedy, pardon me, why did President Reagan appoint Sandra Day O'Connor and, of course, Kennedy to the Supreme Court? If you'd like to see a picture of Ronald Reagan accepting the 33rd degree of Masonry and the letter he sent to the head of the Masons, thanking them for honoring him so he could join the Masons in the Oval Office, we'd be glad to send you copies of the picture. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, that, of course, we have people deeply involved in the occult. Remember, Nancy was deeply involved in the occult. And, of course, so was Ronald Reagan. We don't like to talk about that. We love to believe he believed exactly what he said. He was a wonderful actor. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. But if you want to check that, if you'd like to see the picture that was published in the Masonic Journals and the letter that was published in the Masonic Journals talking about Ronald Reagan's Masonic connections and joining the Masons while in the Supreme Court, we'll be glad to send it to you. Let's right now go to Linda calling from Santa Rita. Hi, Linda. How are you doing?
You're
going to have to speak up a little louder.
Oh, well, I know a lot. lot of folks who are voting because of their pocketbook. You know, they don't have the faith that if we vote what's right, that God's going to take care of us. And
I speak up a little louder.
Well, some of my friends, some people I know, are voting a certain way because they are worried about their check or something, and they're voting for their pocketbook rather than what they know is right, which concerns me because they're Christians.
Well, I share your concern. A lot of my best friends, people I've worked with for years, are backing Schwarzenegger because he's going to win. Well, of course he's going to win because the good people aren't willing to stand on principle. And when there are not enough people to stand on principle, do you really think God's going to honor this country?
Well, we'll see. If we just declare that, God can change things in one day. He can turn things around. I know it's not likely, but things happen that way if we pronounce it so.
Well, we have to, of course, do what's right, and then, of course, the results are up to God. God bless you. Thank you so much, Linda. We're out of time.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention to you, if you have not yet gotten a copy of my video of the war in Iraq, or it's called Iraq, the Untold Story, you really need to get it. And, of course, you need to understand that all of the wars of the last century, and, of course, the wars of this century, have been contrived. And we simply give you the documentation for it, not what I say, but what the people who were involved and said, the people who were planning it, and we'll give you the original documents. You'll see them on the video. And then if you want to buy the syllabus that is available at a discounted rate, you can get both of them together. That's Iraq, the Untold Story. You need to have the documentation. You need to have people understand we did not go to Iraq because of the threat to America from weapons of mass destruction. We did not go to Iraq because we wanted to liberate the Iraqi people from the wicked Saddam Hussein, because we financed him at every turn. We went to Iraq because we want to permanently station our troops in the Middle East, and that's what it's really all about. And our boys will stay there, and they will continue dying. But you have to understand how our leaders look upon our servicemen. Page 194, of course, of The Final Days by Woodward and Bernstein, where Henry Kissinger said, the military are stupid, dumb animals to be used for public policy. And you'll get the exact quotation in my syllabus, and you can get it from the book, The Final Days. But you have to help us to get out the word. And then if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to get the book. It's inexpensive. And, of course, it will explain to you the spiritual component of what's going on today. The book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you can get it by itself or as part of a special with a video and an audio tape. The book is $12.95 or the special is $29.95. Get it. Copy the video. Copy the audio tape. Help us get the truth out across America while we still can. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and of course I just want to mention to our listeners that we hope that many of you will seriously consider setting up an Institute of the Constitution in your community, and you do that by calling 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. We carry Phenopoly, which is a board game that will teach you, your children, your grandchildren, how to read phonetically, spell phonetically, pronounce words phonetically, and, of course, we carry the Robinson Homeschool curriculum that will take your child through an education from grammar school to college to high school graduation for $199.95. If, of course, you're out across America struggling with health care costs, let me suggest a Christian health cost sharing program. It's called MediShare. A Christian health cost sharing program called Medicare. MediShare. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-4. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do on a regular basis. And quite frankly, we need your help to maintain what we have, the base of stations, and then, of course, gradually to expand them little bit by little bit. And so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and get our four best tapes of the month and our monthly newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get a copy, certainly, of our latest newsletter, which compares what happened on December 7th, 1941, to what happened 60 years later on September 1st, the year 2001, why, go ahead and give us a call, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll send you a newsletter free of charge, of course. Just between you and me, we hope that you'll want to subscribe to it, or you'll even want to get the newsletter on a regular basis. But if you don't, why, we'll be glad to get that for you. Again, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war today. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. An increasing numbers of people are listening there. I talked to a gentleman just today who told me he listens 5 hours a day, and there are a lot of people out there who listen 5 hours a day who are getting the education and making copies of the programs and getting them out across America, and more people are learning that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. Tell people about our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Look at the items we sell. And, of course, we do sell the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light. And if you do get them to us, you get a four-tape set or certainly a video that we produced. And so they're there. You can see them. And, of course, you always call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, you can pull down our archive programs. You can certainly get all of our back newsletters. And they're well worthwhile copying and reading and studying. And, of course, getting the background of information so you can intelligently discuss the difference between a republic and a democracy, or the reason why America was created as a republic and why these differences are important, and about America's invisible government, and about the men who came here in 1640 to take over America, the Rosicrucians, and about the various secret societies, which are not imaginary, they're real, and you must become acquainted with them and be able to discuss intelligently with others how they control our media, how they control our educational system, how they control our reality today. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders. We ask you to pray for this election that's coming up next Tuesday, and that you will be honored, and we'll have a man who will become the governor of this state who will represent you and your plan for humanity, not the gentleman who will represent the kingmakers, the occultists who dominate America today. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for men of courage who are willing to do what's right rather than expedient. And lastly, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.